and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. This is episode 151. I am Mel at Karmic9, and we have Mike back with us this week. Say hello.
And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, this is Kelly at KELLYTHUL on Twitter, and it was a debate. We talked about it long and hard, and finally Mel won out, and we begrudgingly have cleared a spot on our busy calendar to have Mike join us, but it is most excellent to have you back.
Well, I really appreciate that. I'm Mike at Official Pagan, and anybody who's listening, I promise you I'll be on my best behavior. Just look at the joke I didn't make, and Kelly just said long and hard. I said nothing. Nothing. Total silence. You're welcome. Bring the kids back in.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, well, of course, we have to have Mike back because he's done so much for Kelly's IMDb page.
Like, created it.
So.
Yeah, I heard that that Kelly was very self-serving on an episode of this show, and I don't know where he gets that from.
Just comes out every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah, I we'll test you out a little bit. I channeled my inner Mike. Got anything to say, Mike?
I would never do that. I would never shamelessly promote something that I was involved in on a podcast.
Oh. Not you. Not at all. But apparently, you should, because I dropped like a million positions in IMDb. My rank dropped over a million. So that seems bad.
What is that ranking based on? Views?
I have no idea.
I believe it's how many times people are clicking on your page.
Oh, well. Kelly has an entire workforce that he could maybe convince to click on his IMDb.
Well, see, here's the problem with that for me. So let's just say you have a new IMDb page. Nobody clicked on it this week. It's brand new. Next week, you tell your friends to click on it a bunch of times. You're going to jump up hundreds of thousands of positions based on where you were off of a few dozen clicks. So that's the problem with that. And the same thing, you're going to tumble back down if you don't get that the next time.
Over a million.
So. The highs and lows of fame.
Kelly's a celebrity now.
So yeah.
One of those pseudo-celebrities, maybe.
I don't know. He was in a movie that was number one on Amazon, so.
He was, as were you. So. And congratulations to you both.
Not that we're going to talk about it, but it was Our Summer Vacation, which is available on Amazon, right?
Yes. Yes.
See me not doing that?
Yes.
You're welcome.
There are links and everything on the previous episode. So are we ready to get started?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I think this week it's my turn to go first. And I have another Star Wars recommendation. Yay! But it's free. So there's that. It's actually something I just came across a couple of weeks ago, so it's pretty cool. The videos, it's free on YouTube, by the way. I haven't mentioned that part yet.
Yeah, they don't let people monetize much there. So there's lots of free stuff on YouTube these days.
Yes, and this one is refreshing in that the ads, I don't remember there being a lot of ads. There's an ad, I think, at the end, maybe at the beginning and the end of every episode, but they weren't intrusive, which is odd nowadays. Nowadays, everything has to have 5 ads for a 10-minute video, but these weren't that way, and it was pretty cool. So the YouTube channel is called 100% Star Wars. He has a series going on about Star Wars characters explained. So a bunch of the characters from what would now be considered legends that aren't part of the official canon anymore. He gives you their backstories and their current stories from books, video games, things like that. So it's a lot of interesting information because the Star Wars universe is so huge and there are so many characters and there are so many cool stories that it's a full-time job to try to keep up with all of that. At least I think so. So I came across his channel because I have a deep love for the character Revan. I know y'all probably didn't play the Knights of the Old Republic video game. Did either of you?
I did not.
Okay. I have not, no. Okay. I think I mentioned this when we did the Star Wars review. My exposure to Star Wars outside of the main film franchise is really limited. I played a couple of the old games, but none of them are current stuff.
Okay. Knights of the Old Republic is, gosh, I should have looked up when it came out, maybe 10 years ago, maybe longer. It has been re-released as an app, so a game app, at least on iOS. I would imagine it's available on Android as well. And it's one of the, well, it's actually, I think, probably the first Star Wars game that I ever played all the way through, because before that, most of them were flight games, and I've never been very good at those, and I never really found those very interesting. This was more of an RPG, and so it was really interesting. And that is the game that introduced me to the character Revan. Revan is a very complex character in that Revan was a Jedi who went bad and basically kind of rebirthed the Sith into the Republic and sparked off a whole bunch of wars. But Revan was a hero of the Mandalorian Wars and was given the, I think he's supposed to be the first character that was called the Jedi Crusader, because on his descent onto the dark side, he was very dead set on fighting the Mandalorian Wars, and no one else wanted to get involved. He's the one that got the Jedi Order involved in the Mandalorian Wars and sparked off all of that. He was a hero who was also a dark Jedi at the time, but he had not renounced the Jedi Order and was basically went bad trying to do a good thing. And the character itself gets redeemed, is an ongoing theme in Star Wars, and then sort of falls again. So Revan's very complex and really has a really deep story, and there's a lot of information to go through if you were going to try to find all this yourself. And so this guy has a series where he covered Revan, and it took 5 episodes to cover Revan. And the first one, chapter 1, is The Rise of Revan. Chapter 2 is The Descent of Revan. And then finally in chapter 3, we get to The Redemption of Revan, which covers Revan's story in The Knights of the Old Republic. That might be kind of a spoiler for people, but the game's been out for so long, I don't think it's going to be a surprise that the character in that game turns out to be Revan, redeemed. So in chapter 4, we have The Rebirth of Revan. That actually covers the book called Revan by Drew Karpatian, who's written a whole bunch of Star Wars books that are really good.
Wait. Let me guess what chapter 5 is. That's So Revan. No? No.
That would have been clever.
Sorry.
I have 2 quick things to interject. I looked it up on my phone. It is, that game is available on the Google Play Store. So for the Android listeners, you can pick that up. And also, Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but our good friend Shane Ryan was on That So Raven.
So that would not have been a guess I ever would have made in a million years. Really?
Since you made the reference, I assumed you were a huge fan.
Yeah. No, I just like puns. So,
yeah, he just couldn't hold it in.
I couldn't help myself.
I saw him like chomping at the bit for something. I'm like, ah, oh, he's going to beat me to the Android thing. And nope.
Nope. I had that, but then I got distracted by the pun. Sorry.
So. Yes. Because That's So Revan trumps everything.
It's gold. I tell you, it's gold.
It's gold. Yes. So unfortunately, That's So Revan was not the name of chapter 5. Chapter 5 was called The Death of Revan. And that actually deals with a game I haven't played. And that is the MMO, The Old Republic, that came out several years ago. Apparently, I haven't paid much attention to that game given my bleak internet connection. Since it's a multiplayer online game, I really haven't played it. And so Revan features in that game. And so I don't have to play the game to find out the story now. I watched this video and I know what happens to Revan. I had heard that a lot of people were very unhappy with how Revan's character was dealt with in that game. So you would just have to watch the video and figure out for yourself if you like it. But it was very nuanced. And Revan is just this ultra cool character. Though I have to say, there's one thing that everybody gets really wrong, and I know because I played the game, is that Revan is a chick. So that's because in the game, Knights of the Old Republic, you get to pick whether you're a male or a female character. And of course, I played as a female, and you turn out to be Revan. And so in my world, Revan is a woman, not a man. But that's okay. I've had to learn to live with that discrepancy. But it's really interesting. And this isn't the only character that he's gone through. He's got a bunch of characters, some of which are connected to Revan's story, and a whole bunch of other characters that you, if you're like me, may or may not know who they are. You may know their names, but you really don't know what's going on with them. And then when you look into all of the books and the comics and games that are out there that might deal with these people's stories, it just is really overwhelming. So he's done a really, really good job. In the later episodes, he was even adding sound effects and lightsaber sounds into the videos. And it's not the videos aren't you're watching a guy tell the story. He's got graphics up from the games and some other graphics that have come up about Revan and some of the other characters that he's talking about. And so it's very stylized. It was really well put together, and I was impressed with it. And it taught me a lot about Revan. I'm saddened by the way Revan ended. But Revan has a really cool story. And it's basically the story of what most Star Wars is. Somebody goes bad. They get redeemed. Only he kind of got redeemed. Did really good for a while. And then through circumstances that may or may not have been under his control, sort of went bad again. But he's cool. I like him. So that's 100% Star Wars on YouTube. This 5-chapter series on Revan is its own playlist, and I'll link that playlist in the blog post so you can watch it yourself. Most of the episodes are under 20 minutes, but there is the one that actually deals with Knights of the Old Republic, Chapter 3, is a bit longer. I think it's more like 39, 40 minutes because he's dealing with the main points of the game. He thankfully doesn't cover all the side quests, but all of the major plot points from the game he does deal with. And so that's a longer episode. But Revan is just this ultra cool character. He's got the cool mask that's way cooler than Kylo Ren's. And you find out where he got the mask and all of that. So it's cool. I don't want to give the story away because I think it's really interesting. And he's a great character. And there are some people who think, because once you fall into the rabbit hole of Star Wars conspiracies and theories, there are some people that think that in The Last Jedi, Revan was hinted at, and they're hoping, as any of us who like Revan would hope, that Revan becomes part of the canon. So,
what was the hint, or did people see was a hint to Revan's
existence? I did not notice it in the movie, but I didn't get to see it in theaters as many times as Kelly did. One of the things that Luke has, and I think it's I think it's something he wears around his neck, is actually a piece of a broken crystal from a Sith lightsaber. And you only know this if you have the visual dictionary for The Last Jedi, and it identifies it as a broken Sith lightsaber crystal. And also identifies it as having belonged to a Jedi Crusader. It's a stretch, but Revan was the first character that was deemed a Crusader because of his work on the Mandalorian War. So there are people who are making a stretch and trying to, because it's also a Sith crystal, and they're calling it from a Jedi Crusader, that it's Revan's. And Luke has it as a perhaps a memento of redemption. I don't know. So there are people who are trying to pick through a bunch of stuff. I saw somebody, and I don't know the reference, but somebody said in Rebels there was a reference to Revan. And so there are people out there pushing that Revan's going to be canon. And we've been hoping for a Revan movie. Revan would make a really good movie. But that was before I realized he had been covered in the games so much. And I don't know that they would go and do a movie over a character that they've covered quite this much. So I don't know. I would love to see a Revan movie. I think he has a really cool story. And they had really cool outfits that would look really good in a movie. So
There's no chance he might be disguising himself as a giraffe manatee, is there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just hanging out getting milked all day by Luke. Yeah.
You do find out that I hadn't realized how long Revan, for different circumstances, lived. Revan lived for close to 400 years. If you watch the series, you'll find out the ins and outs of how that happened. But Revan was a very long-lived character and influenced a big chunk of the Old Republic timeline. So,
well, and cool. In a giraffe manatee year, it's like 7 years for you or I. So that's even equally more impressive.
That's right. Yeah, we're gonna leave the nasty green milk giraffe manatees out of Revan's timeline. Revan has more class than that. Okay. Revan had one of the best parts of the Knights of the Old Republic movie was a robot android called HK-47 who called everybody meatbags. And that was Revan's droid. He made him. And so, you know, Revan had a sense of humor. He thought it was hilarious the first time the droid called somebody a meatbag. So then he programmed him to call everybody a meatbag. So that was a little nuance that I had forgotten about from the game.
And now we have a title for this week's episode. Meatbags.
Okay. So,
I got to save this for Matt. I was about to say, speaking of meatbags, I was going to throw it over to Mike, but I got to save that for Matt. So, spoiler.
That was a really cool recommendation, and it seems like I could benefit a great deal from that because I'm less familiar with the characters and the storyline that's outside of the core films.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of these characters, so I was looking through his other videos, and there's a bunch of them that I recognize the name, but I really couldn't tell you anything more about them. So if they weren't actually from the Knights of the Old Republic games or they weren't from the original, I may not recognize a lot of them because I've wiped out the prequels a lot from my mind. So if they're not modern ones that we've had a recent book about, I don't know a lot of these characters. So that's why I found this was really interesting because it's a good way to catch up on who a bunch of these characters are, even though most of them are not canon anymore.
And it is a super cool mask. I will totally, totally agree that it's awesome. Which I think when the Kylo Ren's mask first made its appearance, there were people, it has reference points to it-ish.
Okay.
You're not buying that?
Sure. I don't like much associated with Kylo Ren.
Okay, sure, okay. Mask. I wasn't even picking on that. All right. Michael. You wanted to join us because you had a recommendation that you said you wanted to get on because you had a recommendation especially for Mel. So
correct.
And I've been scared ever since.
There's nothing to worry about. But before I get in my recommendation, no one is ever on this show because I'm sure there's one or two episodes that I might not be as familiar with. No one has ever recommended Ian MacKaye's alt porn remake of Debbie Does Dallas, right?
Pretty sure that's a no.
All right, that's not my recommendation. I just wanted to make sure that no one's ever done that in case I get invited back again.
Okay. Because we are nurturing and supportive.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
But no, for anyone who doesn't know, Kelly and I have been doing a show called Squat Cobbler, which originally had a format similar to what you guys do on Nurture and Support, although Kelly goes a little bit edgier with his Squat Cobbler recommendations. I try and keep it all PG, family friendly, but Kelly gets a little weird sometimes. We've kind of moved away from that. Now we're kind of focusing more on music reviews and stuff like that. But I had one last recommendation that I really wanted to get out, and it's because it's for you, Mel, specifically.
Okay. I'm ready.
Now, before anybody says anything differently, this is not a self-serving recommendation in any way. You could make a vague argument of bias, but it is not self-serving.
Yeah, which is Mike for. It is absolutely self-serving.
In no way is this a self-serving recommendation. I just want to be abundantly clear with that. Okay. But Mel, I know that you're a fan of cello music.
Yes.
Correct. See, it's not that bad, right? Not scared anymore? Did that take the edge off?
I don't know. I've seen some scary cello music too. All right, I'm ready.
So there is a cello player that I'm a big fan of. His name is Enrique, and he plays in a band that I wanted to recommend to you called Psychotica.
Okay. A band you've talked about in other places that, yes, I've heard of.
I have, yeah. They're a band that I am a huge fan of. And again, not in any way self-serving. I am not in Psychotica.
Yeah. So. No, they weren't in that documentary that got token IMDb page rating.
I mean, they may have somehow stumbled upon our documentary.
They were some of my supporting cast, yes.
Okay.
But when I was a teenager, that was, and still is, my favorite band. I discovered them when I was a teenager. And one of the things that drew me to them is they have a very cello heavy element to their sound.
Okay.
And it's Enrique who brings that to it. So I kind of wanted to ask you, I know that you like cello music, but I don't know what other types of music you like. Whatever that is, though, you're going to love Psychotica.
I liked what I heard on our summer vacation, and I've been meaning to check them out. I think you've mentioned this in other places before about the cello, and I just have failed to get around to it. So I will move that to the top of my list.
So other than cello music, what type of music, and I assume gangster rap, other than cello music and gangster rap, what other things are you into musically?
Well, mostly probably alternative, but I listen to a lot. I listen to a lot depending on my crazy mood. So we've talked about, I like shoegaze too. That's from my emo days. I listen to anything but country and most gangster rap.
So there is some gangster rap.
There's probably something that has been labeled that I have enjoyed at some point or another, but I wouldn't say it's high up on there of things I listen to frequently.
Well, while Psychotica is not a shoegaze band, and I love shoegaze music as well, so see, I feel like we have a lot in common musically. So you're really going to enjoy this band.
Okay, I trust your judgment. I enjoy your music. Are they on Spotify? I'm sure.
Yeah, at the very least, their self-titled album should be. That was produced by Rick Rubin, who is a famous producer, and that album constantly stays in rotation on everything. It just so happens that they do have a couple of new songs that are about to come out, and there's some shows and stuff coming up. They did appear in this tour documentary. I think you had mentioned it. I don't even remember what the name is offhand.
Yeah. I believe it's called Our Summer Vacation, and it's available on Amazon. There's a link too.
Might be a good way to get familiar. If you're not, folks, on this recommendation, might be a good starter for you there. Yeah.
So I remember, so I grew up listening to mostly like early hard rock and proto metal stuff and classical music. So I remember when I was a kid, I think it was, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something like that, when the first Psychotica record came out. I'm terrible at math, so I was young. And I remember seeing in a magazine pictures of Pat Briggs, their singer. He looked insane. Reading the interview with him, then I was convinced he was insane. But somewhere in the interview, it mentioned that they also had a cello player. So my interest was completely piqued from Pat's image and the things that he said, and that this was cello-based music in some way. I absolutely had to pick this up. This is something I've been meaning to recommend specifically for you just because of the cello element to it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll like the other elements to it as well, but I thought with the cello thing, I wanted to come on here, recommend this to you, and also kind of like formally invite you to recommend music to Kelly and I so that we can review it on our new more music review related thing.
Yes, I've contemplated that question. Kelly had mentioned that before, and I keep meaning to pull out my old box of CDs to see just what I could give you.
Now for the kids listening, CDs.
Yes, I know. I have CDs that I have not ripped to my computer, you know. We used to have to, like, you know, take the CD and rip the music into an MP3 to put it on our computer. And then we had all this DRM stuff that was just insane. But that's been fixed now. So
I still have, I think, most of the Psychotica catalog on physical CD.
Yep. I've got a lot of old ones that I never completely ripped. And, you know, I've rebought a lot of them. So, because it was just easier than to go dig them out of the box to just go buy the album, because those old albums, they're cheap now.
That's true. Mostly, I personally tend to stick with vinyl nowadays if I'm buying a physical copy of anything. I would prefer to own physical copies of everything, but I've moved numerous times over the past couple years, and transporting thousands and thousands of CDs and records, which is what it is now, I stopped keeping count after I passed 5,000. So it is thousands of CDs and records. I have an entire storage unit that is filled with music.
Yeah.
So transporting that's getting more and more difficult. So unfortunately, most things I need to stick to digital nowadays. But if it's a band that I really love, like if the new Psychotica music happens to be coming out on 7-inch, I'm going to buy that 7-inch of that.
Yes. That's how I am with books. I probably match your album collection with books.
I have a lot of books as well. That was really difficult for me to switch to digital books.
Yeah.
Like having everything on the Kindle.
Ran out of space.
Yeah, it really is a huge space issue. And you're bringing up something really interesting. I was kind of kicking this idea around, and now that you're mentioning books, I think that you and I should start like a Squat Cobbler / Nurture and Support book club.
That works for me.
Like we should recommend books to each other.
If you guys wanted to read romance books.
I'm in. We all three of us have to read whatever the person who's
Kelly's face, y'all.
in character during the show.
No. We have to read
it. That would be horrific.
Yes.
So if it's if it's one of Kelly's romance novels, Mel and I have to read the romance novel and so on.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
Keep working this plan a little more, guys. You're almost there, but you're not quite there.
Okay.
But we should back burner and workshop this book club idea.
Yes. I like book clubs.
But I mean, if you like alternative music, if you like stuff that there is, it's not particularly Psychotica's music is not particularly heavy, but it is kind of dark leaning. I don't know if that's a issue for anything.
I'm totally happy. I'm not an emo gloomy person at all.
Right. I never got that impression from you. So I didn't want you to be put off by that element of it. But there is cellos in it. So
yes. Cellos make everything better. I, you know, maybe if there were more cellos in country music, I'd listen to it too, but I doubt it. But cellos make everything better. I was listening. I wish I could remember what it was. Something came on the radio the other day and it had a cello in a part of it. And I don't particularly care for the song, but the cello part, I was like, I really like this. What is this? And then the regular part of the song came on. And I was like, this sucks. So anyway, cellos are awesome.
They are. And there's other good guys other than Enrique in the band too. There's a guy named Pat Briggs. There's this guy, Christian. He plays something. I think Kelly's a fan of his.
Huge fan. Big, big fan of Christian. Yes. I am. I like Christian a lot. I think he
listen to him.
I've edited Christian in the past on appearances and he took umbrage. But it was the right call. And you see how well it's paid off for me.
You got an IMDb page, really.
That's right. What more could I ask for?
So I'm going to my recommendation is that hopefully you'll get an opportunity to check out Psychotica.
I will, definitely.
Yep. I'm going to offer that we should modify the episode title now to Cellos Make Everything Better, comma, Meatbags. So there you can.
That sounds like a great title to me.
It is a good title.
Okay, so I'll roll into mine, unless, Mike, you have anything else?
Nope, that's it. That is the end of my not in any way self-serving recommendation for Mel.
Absolutely. I like it.
What Mike?
I'll report back on my findings.
Most excellent. Yeah, and we need that recommendation from you in terms of a novel to go through. Not a romance novel, but an album with music.
Telling you, book club.
I could find some romance novel-esque CDs to make y'all listen to.
I would love, and I'm not saying like you should do this, but in general, I really hope that it's something I would never listen to on my own, whatever it is you come up with.
I can probably find some stuff you would never listen to. I have all my CDs from when I got my very first CD. Here's a fun fact. My first CD was Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits.
The first concert I ever went to was Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. So I've got some old stuff.
You remember what your first CD was, Mike?
Vanilla Ice.
London, I win because mine was London Calling, The Clash.
So. You're so cool.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That should be on my IMDb page.
You're so cool. Quote. Yeah. For the London Calling was your
No, we need to beef up the trivia section there, Mike. So we could put both. I think both of those work. You can quote Mel on the "You're so cool, Mel." That would be great.
Okay.
But during Mike's recommendation, he talked about his storage bin, her storage unit, and mentioned it was full of music. What he didn't mention is it's also full of freezer chests and body parts as well. No, that's a hoax. And that ties into my recommendation, which is History's Greatest Hoaxes. So this is yet another documentary or series of documentaries on Netflix, and it does cover History's Greatest Hoaxes. And
so I hate to interrupt you so early into this, but I am about to watch this. Like, I was scrolling through Netflix and I was like, what am I going to watch tonight? That's what I added to my queue.
I recommend it. I think it's worth it. I have a couple quibble or two I'll mention it kind of in the recommendation here, but I just kind of came across it recently myself and said, this looks like some good viewing and I needed some therapy. I was doing some puppy sitting last week and I needed something to decompress, and this looked like a good way to do it. And it was. So it is a series of little documentary pieces on a variety of major hoaxes, which the first season includes Hitler's Diaries, The Piltdown Man, which was a kind of fake missing link thing. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. The War of the Worlds broadcast, which to me was a bit of a stretch to call a hoax, but it was still pretty interesting. Papillon, True or False, and the Loch Ness Monster, and then finally the Alien Autopsy film. And so these are the six episodes in there.
Are you trying to tell me that all of those are hoaxes?
Well, Papillon was true or not. So maybe it's not a hoax. You'll have to watch the episode to find out.
Okay.
So have you watched all of these episodes?
With the exception of Papillon, which is the cliffhanger, I have. So
just real quick then, correct me if I'm wrong, just for our listeners. So you're calling all of these hoaxes, but isn't, and I could be totally off base on this, isn't the alien autopsy thing, doesn't the guy who made that claim that it's a reenactment or something now?
He claims it's a recreation. This is part of the kind of craftiness of this guy, is that there was really an alien autopsy film, but the film was in such a degraded condition that all but five frames of it had to be reshot. And so he reshot everything but five frames, and he still has the original, and at some point in time he might share it, but he's not prepared to at this point in time. But yeah, their position is that it is just they had to recreate because of film quality issues from there.
Can we really call that a hoax then?
I can. I'm pretty comfortable. But I think it does leave the door just a teeny bit open. But there are a couple where the door's not open. Hitler's Diary, which hoodwinked a major German publication. Rupert Murdoch bought into it and was like, screw it. I don't care if it's true or not. It's going to make money. And the way he went and did those pieces. So that was pretty interesting. And you get a kind of the gentleman who authenticated, or was the initial guy who said, yeah, I'm pretty confident these are the real thing. Followed about a week later saying, hey, I'd like to take that back. And they're like, nope, you said they were good. So we're running with that. Kind of the implication to him in terms of the long term kind of messed up his credibility. The Piltdown Man, which was where apparently the missing link in the origin of intelligence came from England, which spoke a lot to the British folks and got saying, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's a good way to go. Ends up being a gentleman who combined a human skull with an orangutan jaw and said, look at this. This is a new thing. And for about 25 years, kind of was skating free. And everybody thought it was true. It was in displays and all that. And then finally some people said, hey, you know, if you scrape that bottom jaw, that's not age. That's paint. that's been stained. You know, and the teeth, they've been obviously filed and some things like that. So
is it fair to say then creationism is the answer and science is the hoax?
You could say that if you would like.
You're just trying to hurt me, aren't you?
Yes, Mike, that's exactly what you could say. But it's fun. So my guess is it looks like this aired originally on the History Channel, and it would have been an hour-long show with commercials. So they kind of clock in around the 40 to 42-minute long process. And unfortunately, I found with almost all of them is tons of good information, but they really kind of cover everything you need to know in, I'd say, the first 25 minutes of the show or the first 30 minutes of the show. And then there's just kind of like a lot of recapping for that last 10 minutes where it's like, yeah, I think you kind of covered this already. So that's my quibble with it a little bit. But there is just tons of kind of interesting little tidbits on all of these hoaxes. And the I knew that they eventually chased down that the kind of iconic Loch Ness monster photo was a hoax. And the gentleman who did it finally, when he was like 94 years old, admitted it was a hoax. But I didn't realize how he pulled it off, which involved a small submarine you could buy, toy submarine you could buy at Woolworths, and some clay and things like that to do it. So the picture that looks like a very large animal is probably an 8-inch tall figure floating through the water. So there's that. So if you like,
I did notice you said the iconic picture of the Loch Ness monster. So you're not saying the Loch Ness monster is a hoax. Just that photo is a hoax.
Yeah, yeah. It clearly that we all know that it really, but that photo is a hoax. And then
I totally believe in the Loch Ness monster.
You might not like the episode too much because even the guy that runs the Loch Ness monster theme park by Loch Ness is kind of going, probably not. Because I'm hoping though.
It needs to be real. Maybe the Loch Ness monster is the only thing that can save us because it's pure. Hides from the evil heart of men.
Go on, Mel.
I've stumped them. That was in a movie somewhere at some point that I've seen somewhere. I'm sorry.
The Loch Ness Monster is going to save us all? I missed this movie.
No, about him being pure. Only the pure of heart can see the Loch Ness Monster. That's why all you jerks can't see him. Because you're not pure.
I mean, I'm just going to say, if the Loch Ness Monster is some sort of prehistoric creature that's still alive, it is not doing its patriotic duty by turning into oil.
Maybe that's how it will save us all. It's refusing to conform. Poor Nessie. I believe in Nessie. Leave Nessie alone.
What do you think is more likely, the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot?
Probably Bigfoot. Cryptozoology is so interesting.
Yeah, I'm going with neither of the above, but that's just me.
And you call yourself a sci-fi movie fan? Here you are, you skeptic.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameras and phones these days, and so it would seem to me, if we can prove out the hair challenges of the current occupant of the White House, we should be able to prove out anything, because that had been a well-kept secret until an unfortunate gust of wind. So not a well-kept secret, I guess, but we had photographic proof, so you can see on that. All right, on that uplifting note, I think we'll move to social media recommendations. And I kind of punked Mike and Mel before the show and saying I didn't have one, because I do have one, so I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out first here, because
it's... Do you feel lied to now?
I do, but I do know that Kelly is a social butterfly, and he rarely fails to have a social media, unlike me and my glowy cheerfulness.
Maybe there's a Loch Ness Monster Twitter account we can find.
I'll look.
That would be great.
We might have a lot in common.
Just remember, Mel, I may have made one porn joke tonight, but Kelly made a Trump joke, so...
That's true.
Mike made a creationist joke.
So, that's true, too.
We can forget that.
Okay, didn't happen. My recommendation is an Instagram recommendation, and this individual just unfailingly puts out kind of multiple photos a day that are all just remarkably beautiful, tremendously scenic, just incredible quality, and it's just, I just can't, believe how consistently she kind of puts out these really striking photos, and they're just amazing. And her handle is it's called Shays Day, and that's Shaesday. And like I said, it's just good little eye candy to put in your Instagram feed through there. So Shays Day is, like I said, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Much like our friend Rachel Rigda, who kind of often populates her Instagram with some pretty cool stuff of the terror that is Australia in terms of when it's not this beast will kill you. There's some pretty nature pictures, and then here's a spider that's the size of a football and that kind of thing. But Shay doesn't do that.
There's also sweet koala pictures.
That's true.
That make the scary spiders okay.
Yeah. being attacked by the football-sized spider.
Yes.
Yeah, there's creatures she takes pictures of that they seem to be alien, and they look all very, very dangerous and unpleasant. But but then there's a nice koala bear in a tree. But Shays are all just pretty, and they're awesome, and they're great. So it's Shays Day on Instagram, and that would be my recommendation for this week. Mike, do you have one?
Yes, I do. I'm going to recommend Mel at Karmic9. Because not only are all of her posts great, but I have a pretty good feeling she's about to become a Psychotica fan. So she's even cooler now.
Okay. Okay. You've just disappointed all of these people. What, 10 of them that might be listening? Yeah. I am on Twitter a little bit more the last few days, so I'll try to keep it up. Trying not to offend people these days with my cheery attitude.
Who have you offended?
I offend multiple people every day. They just don't happen to be online.
Listen, I have directly tweeted at the president asking for dick pics.
Okay, they're probably already watching me, so I don't do that. I don't invite that sort of scrutiny.
So I think Mike was already a person of interest, and so now you've joined, which is why I think that.
And we're dragging you down with us, Kelly. Right.
I think that's why I'd like to clarify that this whole book club thing that's going to be going on, which I'm sure is going to be subversive literature, trying to bring down the man. I'm not a part of it, so I'm clear. I'm out. Okay. There will be no entries on it on my IMDb page ever. So that's my.
I just want to state right now, for the record, I am a capitalist, so I'm okay, guys. Calm down. Don't do what the Trump administration did to me. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Don't do what the Obama administration did to me. That's a challenge to Trump. Don't be like Obama and take my passport.
Oh.
Oh, so.
And send those dick pics.
So Mel, falling
out of his chair, hiding under his desk.
So Mel, there you see. This is, if you... You see why now we talk about music on Squat Cobbler. It doesn't help entirely, but it blunts the...
Listen, everybody's had their passport seized and been under a year-long federal investigation, right? Right, no. Guys?
No. No, no. But you've got it back?
I don't think my life has been as colorful as yours, Mike. So I try to stay in the shadows.
Hey, they didn't find shit. I was innocent, so...
Sure.
Allegedly.
Again, but the good news is they gave you your passport back.
They did.
And we got a lovely documentary out of it.
Correct. Yeah, that couldn't have happened unless Trump was president because Obama took my passport.
Yet another title for the episode.
Obama took my passport?
Yes.
You know, I was trying to... So I don't know if you know this, Mel, but... We're obviously going to make a sequel to that documentary video. And I've already been to Canada this year, and we have a bunch more trips planned. I've been trying to come up with names that aren't too offensive that kind of get our point across. And maybe like No Russian Collusion could be the name of the next documentary.
But play with it and make it like Russian, like hurrying. No Russian Collusion. You know, that'll be, you know, kind of the hip. The kids will like that.
It'll probably definitely... get a bunch of views. Now the reviews may not be so hot, but hey, I see lots of things on Amazon taking advantage of those keywords, so go for it.
And speaking of colluding with Russians, we're going to hand it over to Matt, who's going to give you all the information. Now that he's done colluding for the day, he's going to give you all the information on how you can connect to nurture and support through, well, temporarily, at least until we get completely shut down due to Mike, on Stitcher, YouTube, unmonetized YouTube, iTunes, all that good stuff. And you can catch all of our stuff there. So Matt will do his usual great job in giving you that information. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye, everyone. And thank you for having me on, guys.
You're welcome.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Mission is boring. Turn it.